The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. There is it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
There's nothing better than a playoffs edition of the Big Shot Bob Pod. Tell you what, working fresh off of the Clippers series, Jamie Maggio's joining us. She's back this week.
Hey, Jamie!
What's going on, you guys?
Fresh off of working the Hawks series, B-Dog Brandon Harper is joining us. And fresh off of working on a bag of potato chips on his couch is seven-time NBA champion Robert Ory, whose Lakers have gone home.
First of all, it wasn't potato chips. It was carrot sticks. Let's get it right.
My bad.
Carrot sticks.
Or Wingstop Wings if you want to get the branding in there. But, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't want everybody to know I was eating wings and carrot sticks. I was just going to say, you know, just carrot sticks to make it sound like it's a little bit more healthier.
That's every time I see you on social, though. It's like, here's Rob with a giant plate of wings. I'm like,
he's so cheesy with it, too.
Always in his doorway getting the delivery, like, hey.
Well, you know, you have to market it and you have to do your thing for Wingstop. But the Lakers messed that up by not winning, so I can't do my Wingstop, you know, ads anymore because you can't get free wings if the Lakers not playing, right?
Hey, Lakers done messed up the money.
More ways than one.
Yes, they did. Yes, they sure did. I think that had to be just largely in part to the Anthony Davis injury. I mean, the Lakers just weren't all the way there. It was just – it was not going to work out for them, but, you know, you hate to blame crap on injury, but, you know, seeing LeBron exit the first round of a playoffs, not something we're used to.
Well, you know, I'm sad and I'm happy because LeBron has broke so many of my damn playoff records, you know, the 16-0. I'm like, okay, don't break that one, man. But, you know, but I'm sad that they're out because I love watching the Lakers play, not just because I work for them but it's fun to watch guys like KCP, AC Fresh. You know, I don't really care about AD and LeBron. I like to see the other guys do their thing because, you know, they get so much praise that you want to look out for the little man. Is that because I was once a little man?
I'm sure it is. It's got to be.
Yeah, little man, you got to put that in perspective, though, because you talk about hitting some of the greatest shots in NBA history. You're not the little man. You're the guy that, hey, if you didn't hit those shots, history wouldn't be what it is. It'd be a little different.
A little bit.
How many of those little men are going to be around next year, Rob?
You know what? I don't think – only one that'll be around, I think, is going to be Kyle Kuzma because he just signed a new deal.
He the one that need to go.
Don't say that, man. But it's just going to be rough, man, because they have a lot of people, you know, unrestricted free agents. I think we got one restricted free agent, and that's THT. Mm-hmm. And he's going to demand – someone's going to give him a lot of money, so the Lakers probably got to let him go because he's a talent, man. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they have on the books because there's nothing out there that's, you know, that I can see that I'm going out and say, oh, we need him, and him that's going to make this team better unless they make a hell of a trade.
I think they're going to end up bringing two guys back, and you all may completely disagree with me on the two.
Who's that?
I think they're going to find a way to bring Drummond back. And I think they're going to find a way, and this is crazy because he reportedly turned down a deal. They may end up bringing Schroeder back.
I don't know about Schroeder.
Yeah, honestly.
Maybe not.
Either of
I
those are tough. Tough to see.
So, Jamie, if you have to keep one of those guys, who would you keep?
Between
Schroeder and Drummond. Because they can only pay one of those guys if they're going to pay one of them.
I know which one I'm keeping.
And Trez is gone, right?
Yeah, Trez is gone.
Did he? Is his option? Did he opt out?
He in a doghouse.
That's right, his option.
Yeah, it's his option, so.
I would probably go Drummond.
Yeah.
See, me, I would go Schroeder. I just don't think Drummond works well with AD and LeBron. I think because for me, the reason I would keep Schroeder is because he would get LeBron off the basketball. And LeBron is 300 years into the league now. He cannot be bringing the ball up and take control. He has to pick and choose. When he does that, you need someone who can bring it up and facilitate and do things of that nature. And LeBron needs to save that. If I was coaching LeBron, I'd be like, okay, You could do all that in the second half. In the first half, Schroeder, you get us involved. And if we need you, LeBron, go ahead. Because he expends too much energy coming to the court. Think about it. Dribbling the basketball takes a lot of energy. LeBron, just run up the court, go set up. And so that's what I would do. But
you know, Rob, check this out.
That's why we're both on the couch coaching, right?
But check this out, though. I understand what you're saying, but how often mm-hmm. – anytime we talk about the Lakers getting a ball dominant guard that can take the ball out of LeBron James' hands, and when they get him, what ends up happening? The ball being back in LeBron James' hand, bringing the ball up the court each and every time. It happens all the time.
Well, it happens, but you have to, as a coach and as a point guard, I don't think it's you have to sit down and say, LeBron, trust me with this one. Trust me. I know you've been doing it your way for so long, but trust me, we can save you for the second half. You don't have to use so much energy. Dude, you're fucking old. So sit back and let someone else do it. You know, and you got to have this conversation. I think a lot of coaches are afraid of the megastars and just to coach them. You know, and I think LeBron is coachable. I think if someone comes like, yo, this is what we're going to do. You know, we need to save you. You know, okay, in the second half of the season, then if we want to let you bring the ball up and facilitate, okay. But at the beginning of the season, no, just get down the court and post up, you know, save some energy. So
yeah, but is Frank Vogel that guy?
I think he is. I think he could be that guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, in all the conversation about the Lakers and the early exit and the injuries, whatever you're going to say, I think you also have to really give credit to the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not going to talk about Booker. It was Ayton that ate them alive, man. DeAndre Ayton was killing him. He was averaging like 20 and 10. I know the last couple of games he didn't average. He didn't have to because of what Booker did, but he was a beast. And he made made Drummond make you one. Like, that's one of the reasons I'm like, oh, you let this young fellow, you know, get at you like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. And plus, you know, Drummond's hands are very suspect, man.
Yeah, they are.
I never knew that. When he in the paint, that mug's going to kick off his leg, go out of bounds. Don't get me wrong. The only thing, and I like Drummond as a player, but not just with this crew. I think he's a great defender. Like, when he comes off the pick and roll, he's very active with his hands. He can do things like that. But I don't see him fitting in the way that LeBron and AD likes to play. He gets in the way.
Let me tell you what I think needs to happen. And this is with Anthony Davis. I need him to get in the weight room. I need to have him to have a weight room regimen. I need him to really get with his trainer. I know you may take a month off just to kind of rest your body a bit and try to get healthy. But when he starts ramping back up to working out and getting ready for next season, I'm going to need him to hit the weight room because I want him to be able to absorb more contact than what he's been able to do throughout his career. He's brittle. He's like China doll down there in the post. And I need him to be a little stronger than that.
Street clothes?
That's pretty funny. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Chuck keeps calling us street clothes. Another reason to keep Drummond. You never know when your boy's going to be in the street clothes.
Hey, he wasn't lying, though. Drummond may not like it, but he wasn't lying.
Hey, you know, I think I said that about AD also. To me, if I'm AD, I'm saying, okay, LeBron, we're going to split the money on your trainer. We're going to train together. I'm going to do what you do to see why you've lasted so long. Because I don't know. You know, a lot of these guys come in the league and have the same trainer. And after so long, you pretty much telling your trainer what to do. When I had a trainer, I tried to tell my trainer what to do. He looked at me and says, man, fuck you. This is my job. You do what I tell you to do. I'm like, but I'm paying you. So I don't care. I'm like, I'm getting you ready.
Right.
And a lot of guys, they were like, I'm paying you. So you're going to do what I want to do. And I think with him, he needs to have that type of trainer, to, like you said, to get him ready. Because I've said that plenty of times. Because when you play in 82 games, it's about how you prepare in the offseason to get yourself ready. You got to train the right way. And for me, I never did basketball stuff. My trainer was a mixed martial arts guy. And I wouldn't do mixed martial arts. I would just do a lot of things in that field. Like one day, we had to do some grappling where he made me lay on the ground, and he had to, I don't even want to say this, but he, you know how to get on your ground, you lay on top of each other, you got to get loose. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, this is shit. I'm like, oh shit, I'm tired after 2 seconds. But it was preparing you, you know, like MMA, you look at every beat, like if you ever fight and do grappling, that's what you have to do.
I'm just laughing because your wife probably deals with the same thing.
Hey, bro, that don't sound like working out. That sounds like
it's
trying to bring another life into this world.
That sounds like booty on the pole, which we talked about last week.
Man, trust me, if you ever did, like, you get in there and do some mixed martial arts for like 30 seconds, you're going to be quitting after two minutes because you're so tired.
Hell no.
Because just think about it. If you just grabbing each other and you're trying to get loose, and man, it's a workout.
But are some guys just injury prone?
Yeah.
Like regardless of the off-season workouts?
Yeah, there are some. But I do think, look, I'm not saying that AD will never get hurt again, because I don't think he can get rid of that injury prone stigma. But I want him to be less hurt, because it seems like every game, every time he hits, him and the floor have some type of love relationship, because he hit the floor every game, multiple times a game. And I'm wondering if he's going to get back up in one piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I saw a stat that said this year we had more injuries than any other NBA season because of, you know, the shortened off season and guys not being able to prepare their bodies and guys playing every other night. So the bodies were really fatigued. And I think this year they had more hamstring pulls and more soft tissue injuries than any other year. So
is that
they
true,
had to
though?
Do a lot with it. Yeah, that was on stats. On, yeah,
no, but I mean, like, as a, from a player's perspective, would you feel that way? Like, did your body need all that time to recover?
Well, I know when I went, by the time my third year of going back-to-back championships with the Lakers, that next season, my body didn't feel the same. I was literally tired that whole year. You know, you go out and you do things because of your body's just used to doing it, but it wasn't the same. I remember we were playing in a playoff game and my body was so tired. I had lost 40 pounds that season, which was crazy. And I passed by Rick. He fell. I just looked down at Rick and kept walking because I had no energy to pick him up. I'm like, I'm not using my energy to pick you up, dude.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And hope you're well.
Yeah. And I went back and looked at film of my shooting. My shot was the same, but my lift was not the same. That's why I shot the ball so poorly. I had dead legs, and you don't even think about it because you're just going through the motion. And I was exhausted. That's why I sucked my last year as a Laker.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Why.
I agree with all that, but I'm going to tell you one thing LeBron and AD shouldn't do. Like you said, they shouldn't be going half on a trainer. What are they, broke? No, LeBron pay $1 million, AD pay $1 million. They ain't broke. They ain't
Venmo you the difference.
I'm saying they're going to use the same trainer.
No, what are they on, a payment plan?
I'll get next week.
Hey, at the end of the day, we all try to save money regardless how much money we got.
What's AD and LeBron's contract look like? They ain't missing no money. They're okay.
Hey, look, AD just bought a new $20 million house. He need to cut back somewhere.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He'll be okay. He'll cry himself to sleep on his giant contract.
House he bought,
he'll be okay.
Jamie?
No, where is
AD?
It?
AD, it's right off the 405. It's that big house. It looks like a...
Is that the Getty Center?
Yeah, it looks like the Getty Center, but it's not the Getty Center.
It's the one
house.
You can see from space.
Yeah.
They're big.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, sure.
It's a great place to nurse your injuries.
Yes.
Right.
It's a good
here
place
in Chicago,
to not wear a uniform.
Yeah. One of the many states he has a house in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, so look, you know, no one's perfect, even though we all like to kind of pat ourselves on the back about how great we are. Even the best shooters like Rob are going to miss from the outside from time to time. So if you feel like you've come up short in the bedroom, look, no judgment here. Perfectly okay, but if it's bothering you, we got your back. You just go to GetRoman.com/Ori and do that right now.
With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and the privacy of your home.
That's big.
A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet.
Yeah, so if you're dealing with this and you don't want to go to the doctor and you don't want to have like a... This is the best way to do it. Roman's the real deal. You've probably heard of them before. They're all over the place. So giving them a try is really easy. You just go to GetRoman.com/Ori, H-O-R-R-Y, and complete an online visit. You could take care of your ED without ever having to leave the house. Complete the online visit today. Connect with a doctor. Take care of all of it online with Roman.
Go to GetRoman.com/Ori. That's H-O-R-R-Y. Now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/Ori. That's H-O-R-R-Y. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Jamie, your Clippers went to the ropes with the Mavericks. Didn't see that going to 7, but sure enough, they stretched that one out to 7, and now they got to They got a little bit of a battle ahead of them as well. Did you see that series working out the way it did?
The Maverick series?
Yeah.
You know, after those first two games, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty dejected when they went in the 0-2 hole. And, you know, you root for your friends and you see the hard work that goes in behind it. And sure. And I have some friends with the Mavericks, too. But so I was a little torn, but I didn't see it when the Clippers then went and won 2 in Dallas. I thought, oh, shit, we got a series here.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that, you know, they ended up winning that Game 7. But I'm not making excuses. I do feel like that. And Rob, you can speak to this, like the emotional hangover, like Game 7s are unique. Right. There's a lot on the line. It's an emotional exhaust. And so I feel like, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed in the way that they came out last night. So and I just think this series with the Jazz would be so much easier had you gotten that first game on the road under your belt as a win. You know, it changes the feel of things. But here we are. It's a familiar position.
I've been there.
But the thing that came out of that, though, is they won. They took Utah to the brink.
Yeah, right to the wire.
And I think what was smart of them was not to call a timeout. So they could say, I know everybody was like, well, why didn't they call a timeout? When you have a team that's played together like that, they had a play in mind. Mm-hmm. And they ran it. But
on that last possession, what was I watching?
If Twin just jumps into Gobert, he goes to the line to shoot three free throws.
Instead, like, he steps aside and Gobert shuts him down, you know?
Yeah. So, but I, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, okay, why did they not call a timeout? You got to understand, because even though I'm setting up something, they know what we're going to go. They got time to set up too. They got time to game plan and talk. And all these people say, well, why didn't it? But I think he did the right thing, because if you look what they did, they knew exactly what they wanted to do. It just didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. But I think the Clippers will win this series, because if you watch the way Utah played, they gave them everything they had, and the Clippers hung in there. And that's what you're supposed to do at home in Game 1. And now that same excitement.
And then they're going to get Mike Conley back, I think, for the next game. So.
Yeah, I like that, because it takes the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hand, and he doesn't get a nice rhythm.
I feel like the Clippers are their own worst enemy. Like, I'm not even worried about matchups. You know what I mean? I feel like the Clippers are they have to get past themselves. It's not even like, oh, Mike Conley's going to be back, or they got to deal with so-and-so.
What did he shoot last night? 3-for-20 playoff P? What was it? 7-for-20?
Yeah.
Stop, with, good the, stop with the playoff P. You knock it off.
See, here's the thing. Here's my problem with the Clippers. You know, and I've said this, you know, both Robs know this, and we've discussed this on numerous shows, previous shows. I don't care how far the Clippers get. If they're not hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end, it's a failed season. Another failed season. And now you have to look to next season. Is Kawhi going to be back? What do you do with Paul George if you've given up 4 or 5 first-round picks for him? And I know that's in the future, but I think this team, that has to resonate with them, because they're still trying to shake the stigma of what was last year in the bubble. You know, because when they went down 0-2, people were like, okay, not again. Really?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're having to fight, along with also trying to live up to win a title. So they got a lot of things they're fighting, and they're swimming up current right now. And they got to do everything they possibly can to get that title, because they've done it as a failure.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. That's the expectation. No matter what you say, that is the expectation to get to the finals, to win the finals.
Yep.
No, when you sat here and said that B, I'm like, yeah, that's been my mantra the whole time. It's like it's a fail if you don't make it if you don't win the championship. So if you don't have that attitude as a player, I don't care if you're playing with the suckiest team, the Houston Rockets right now, you still have to have that attitude. If you don't win a championship, the year's a bust. I regardless, because you don't. I know a lot of these guys, they just happy to be in the league. You know, I was happy to be in the league, but I was damn sure happy to be on a championship caliber team and to win a championship. So every year you don't win a championship is a bust.
You're not big on moral victories? Come on.
I'm not big on moral victories. That shit,
that's easy for a guy who has 7 rings to say.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, but
that
it's
was my mentality.
it was the truth. You know, it's like, okay, well, maybe next year. Fuck that. I want it this year, you know? And you just, it makes you, and every year for me, you have to go, and when you didn't win it, I got pissed. You know, my first year in the league, you know, we got oust by rivals, the Seattle Supersonics. What did I say? Where I was about to say the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it was the Seattle Supersonics. Yeah. We got ousted, and I remember hitting a game-winning shot, not game-winning, shot to take us in overtime. And that, And that feeling was like, okay, now I'm ready. This is what it's all about. This is what the NBA is about. And then we got beat in game seven. I'm like, fuck, this was a good feeling. I want to get this again. It's that high, man. You get this high from winning. And I know I can say that because I was lucky to be on teams that won championships, but you get a high. And after you get that high, if you don't get that ultimate high, it's a bust. And I know a lot of guys will never get that feeling. A lot of guys going to almost get the ultimate high, but that's just the way I viewed it. Okay. I need that high, man.
I got it.
I'm addicted to that high. Like
y'all got any championships? Yeah. You got the itch.
Yo, Smokey!
I do want to go back to just to have a second what Jamie said earlier. Props to the Phoenix Suns. Not just for knocking out the Lakers, but just what that team has become this year and the job they've done to go on and the I think the role Chris Paul has played in that organization with those young guys and kind of getting that core going, outstanding. I mean, just a great performance from them so far.
Here's the thing I wanted to comment on that. I love Chris Paul as a player, but don't you think it was a maturation of those players? Because think about it. The Phoenix Suns went perfect in the bubble.
Right.
Oh, no.
So they were already trending the right way. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, CP3 came into the team and added to it. But for me, I don't think it was just all CP3.
I think the team was
trending in the right way. And people don't talk about that. They're like, oh, CP3, he should have been MVP. No, he shouldn't have been MVP.
No.
He did really good for them. But I just think they were already trending in the right way. They growing. Booker's becoming a freaking megastar. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Booker is a megastar, but I look at the microcosm of the bubble last year and I feel like that was such a unique experience and throwing the guys into that, like some were going to sink and some were going to swim. So I don't necessarily think that was indicative of, you know, what was going on with the Suns, but maybe it was because look at where they are now. But I'm with you, Rob. I love Chris Paul. And, you know, if the Clippers don't come out of the West, I hope the Suns do.
Yeah,
and I love Monty Williams.
I can't root for the Suns like that from my experience.
Well,
there.
You have personal history. It's
well, yeah, but I still think Monty Williams should have been Coach of the Year. And I love Thibodeau, and I think he was a hell of a coach. And he did, you know, I think if that wasn't the Knicks, who everybody wants the Knicks to always succeed, it'd have been another team. Let's say if it had been New Orleans, and he wouldn't have won it. You know what I mean?
No, but
it
should
have been Monty.
I think
Monty should have won, you know, Coach of the Year. So
yeah, and he was right on his heels. I mean, that was a close vote. It was like 8-9 points or something like that difference between.
Why couldn't
they have
coach? You know, have them both. I know, like Monty won the coaches poll, and this guy won the media poll or whatever it's called. But I still think they should have been.
Not everybody gets a trophy,
yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, this is importation. Yeah. You know,
you know, I don't believe in that.
Participation awards? No, come on, everybody.
I don't want to go off script, but you know, you mentioned the Knicks, and I got to ask the two guys in Atlanta. Like, did you know that the Hawks were this good? Because I'm like, the Hawks. Knicks are gonna kill them.
I'll be completely honest. He probably did. I didn't. And I'm going to be because I wasn't like as dialed in, but I mean, like B works the Hawks game. So he's at every game.
And I'm like, I'm super pro Trae Young, but I'm like, I didn't think these guys were going to make it a series. That surprised me.
Well, I look at it from the standpoint of when Nate McMillan took over and the Hawks and the way that they responded to his teaching and the way they responded to his coaching, they went 29, 30 and 11 or something down the stretch.
Oh, okay.
He did a complete 180 and really had a lot of those guys buying into his philosophy. Mind you, he didn't really get a chance to instill his full philosophy because it was just a quick turnaround. You know, you kind of got a trial by fire, and we're going to do this as we go on. And the Hawks have the deepest team in basketball, I believe so, because when you have Lou Will, you have Gallinari, and you have so many Chris Dunn coming. You have a lot
Lou
of
Will.
Guys, right, who come off the bench who can start other places. So when Trey and those guys and John Collins go to the bench and I bring in a little bit of my second unit, I don't lose things from the scoring end because Lou Will is an automatic bucket. He is a bucket getter. Mm-hmm. And the way that the Hawks are able to spread the floor, when Trey gets in the lane, he's just going to hit you with that floater that everybody hates, or I can kick it out to a shooter, Bogdanovich, Gallo, whoever, and they're going to knock down the shot. Mind you, we still haven't had DeAndre Hunter in this series because he's dealing with the knee. Another top-notch defender on the perimeter. And we don't have Cam Reddish. Another top-notch defender on the perimeter. And the Hawks are doing what they're doing. They battle injuries all season, and they are where they are. That's why Coach McMillan is my Coach of the Year.
Yeah, no, he didn't even get a sniff of that. He got, I think, like 12 third place votes or something.
Fifth place.
That's all he got.
Ridiculous.
When did he take? When did he take over though?
That's, when that's did they fire Lloyd? Like
March?
It was like,
March.
Yeah. But it was early in the season though when he took over. Was it halfway through?
The Hawks were 14 and 20.
Yeah, so it was probably close to halfway.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
Close to halfway. Yeah. But yeah,
and I saw an interesting tweet the other day that the remaining teams in the NBA and the hunt for the NBA and championship, the last time they won the championship, did you see this?
I have it on the sheet. Yeah.
Oh, you have it. I don't want to steal your thunder.
No. Do it.
Okay. So the Sixers won in 83, the Bucks in 71, the Hawks in 1958. 58.
Yeah.
The other teams, the Nets, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Suns, have never won a championship.
Yep,
I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. As much as I like those you know marquee franchise teams to be in it and in the hunt, I think this is going to be fun to see someone else get a chance.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't want the Nets to win. I don't want the Nets. So anybody can win, but
let
the
it
Nets.
Out, Rob.
Why?
Let it out.
Why?
It doesn't matter.
Because I don't like Steve Nash. No, I'm just kidding.
Is that it? That can't be it.
No, I'm just totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. Now, you know, I don't care who wins it this year. I wanted the Lakers to win it, you know, but because of course, two reasons. I get paid more.
Well.
And hopefully, because I work with the Lakers, I get another championship ring.
Rob, you know that the Lakers aren't in it anymore. You know that, right, Rob?
Yeah. I know it.
What do you think?
But you know, if I'm rooting for, if I have to root for anybody, I'm low key rooting for the Clippers because I love Ty Lue and I want him to be successful as a coach, and so I'll root for him.
The Lakers fan in the room went, ooh.
I'm saying he's a former Laker. You're a Laker fan. You just said,
I'd rather anybody, because my thing is, it's not the fact that you're in the same city. You share the same building. It's one thing if you're on the other end of the city, you got your own building. But you're talking about bringing the Larry O'Brien Trophy in the Staples Center,
it's
not the Lakers? Come on now.
They have it next year. They're going to put that in their own building next year. They have their own building next year, right, Jamie? Or is it 2 years of moving?
I think it's 2 years out. Okay. Wait, I have a funny story. So one of my good girlfriends dated a guy that works for the Jazz, but she's a diehard Laker fan. So we're talking on the phone last night watching the game, and she's like, I really want the Jazz to win this. And I'm like, wait a second. You'd rather see your ex that did you dirty have success in this series? She's like, I hate the Clippers. I'm like, wow.
Sports loyalties, man. They run deep.
They run super deep. You know, just like I can never root for the Braves.
Wait, we're not going to scale over that. Wait a minute. Time out.
Come on.
You from Braves Country.
I already told you the story.
Because they used to cut off Transformers and you'd get pissed off.
They used to cut off Transformers by cartoons, man. So that's why I don't like the Braves.
That's fine.
You know, we hold grudges as kids.
You a 16-year-old child.
You know, rolls up to the
child.
These are the things. Yeah, exactly right.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old. In with the simple.
Jokic won MVP. We got to mention that real quick. I think, Rob, you called that just regardless of how anybody was doing. The NBA was hyping him all year. The crazy thing about Jokic winning this award, the 41st overall pick in the draft, will be the lowest draft pick to ever win it. And when he was drafted 41st, they were running a Taco Bell commercial during the NBA draft. They didn't even show his pick on live TV.
Rob, don't think he should have won it.
Came up during a Quesalupa commercial or some crap for Taco Bell.
Rob, don't think he should have won it. Do you, Rob?
Nope. But hey, I mean, me and Steph Curry probably agree.
Well, yeah, from your couch.
And
yes,
who did I tell you was going to win this award?
Well, I know he was going to win it. It's just the fact that I didn't want him to win it. I just, you know, he wouldn't be in my top. I'm always interested when it comes to like the, you know, NBA all NBA team. Would he be on that team?
Yeah.
No, not always.
Nope. Well, just not always.
Because then, what's his name with MVP? He wasn't even on the first team or someone back in the day. What's his name?
What year are we talking about?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I don't know where anyway, you're going.
It was one guy that won MVP and wasn't even on the first team.
That's
I forget
weird.
Who it was. It was who's your starting center for your all NBA team? Jokic?
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Jokic. I mean, he's the first center to win it since Shaq won it in 2000.
I'm saying, why does it have to be Jokic? It doesn't have to be.
Well, after Crawford got hurt, he pretty much carried that team to where they are.
Yeah.
He was dominant this year.
You mean Murray got hurt?
Murray.
Jamal,
yeah,
I'm Jamal sorry, Murray. Jamal Crawford, Jamal Murray. It's like I'm on Jamal's cross. Sorry.
Look, I know you Joel Embiid, and I'm not knocking it, and I understand why. But you had to understand, with Murray going down, their play really didn't drop at all in the West.
Yeah, because of the guys that stepped up. You acting like it was all Jokic that stepped up. It was the whole team stepped up.
He was
up.
A big part of it.
Because I want you to think about this. Now I'm seeing, now I got a brain fart.
Oh, here comes the old man.
Young guy who
this
don't know how to pass, all
show.
He does is shoot.
You talking about for the Nuggets?
Yeah.
You talking about Michael Porter?
Michael Porter, yeah.
I love Michael Porter.
Think about his production. His production went up. Mm-hmm. And so I had, you know, but they're going to give Jokic all the credit, but Porter, his play went up. Everybody on that team would play a Capacho, whatever his name is. His play went up.
Jamie, talk some sense into this man, please. Please talk some sense into this man.
I'm just enjoying watching him try to speak right now.
Right, yes.
Because he's foolish right now. Please talk to him because I can't do it. Maybe you can.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm trying to defend my pick in Embiid. So I'm just trying to give him some help here, but you know, it is. I know who's going to win it next year.
Who is that? Embiid?
Luka.
Mm. Well, he's special,
Joe, just because they're going to do like they did last year's, hype him up. Oh, Luka's going to win it. And then all of a sudden, these idiots who don't play basketball, never played basketball, got it in mind. Oh, they hyped him up to play it, be it. So he's going to be it. That's how they always do. If he wouldn't have came in the season out of shape, uh-huh, he'd have probably won it this year.
Let me tell you what Luka needs to do. And no, I know he has money to do it. He will eventually have the money to do it. Rent a plane, and on the back of the plane, tie up one of those things. You know how you see the planes go across, have a
banners?
Message on the back?
Yeah.
Help me. And fly it all over the state of Texas. As a matter of fact, find where Kristaps Porzingis lives and circle it around his house. Help me.
Bail me out.
Kristaps, how are you making $30 million a year and you an afterthought? You don't show up in this. What are you doing?
See, you know, this is. I'm going to defend Porzingis.
Do it.
Because I want you to think about this. All right. Within the course of a game, you got Hardaway Jr. and you got Doncic, who takes the majority of the shots. And so everybody gets mad at him because he's not having the production he had when he was in New York, because he was the center point in New York. So he put up numbers like that. And just like a lot of guys in this league, when they go to a team where you got someone who's ball hogging. Now, when I say ball hog, that's not a bad term. It's just he has the ball all the time, that he doesn't get the production. And a lot of guys need the ball to feel like they're involved in the game. And when Porzingis gets shots, he's better on the defensive end and everything. But when he's not getting touches, he's just a, you know, afterthought. So you cannot blame him. So don't blame him. And I'm
not
even a
Porzingis fan.
That
sounds like a
Porzingis
problem.
But it's not his problem. It's like, if you're the point guard and you don't give me the ball, I can't do shit about it. And if the coach don't run plays for me, I can't do shit about it.
Right.
If Tim Hardaway Jr. is taking all those crazy shots, I can't do anything about it.
I think he
you can be an asshole and say, give me the fucking ball. But, you know, that's what it is.
I think he averaged 7, 8 points a game in that series. He's making $30 million a year.
It ain't his fault. You can't always go by the pay, but when he got that pay, it ain't his fault if you don't use me.
Pretty unceremonious when he left New York. Now he's chirping with the Mavericks, right? Like, I don't understand that part of it. Like, I feel like he's not knowing how to play the game or how to communicate maybe internally. I think it's wrong to like air your dirty laundry.
Yeah, you can't air your dirty laundry. That's a big no-no. But a lot of guys feel like they see these guys, superstars, do it. You know, think of James Harden has messed up the game now. Everybody's going to do what he did and think they can get into a position like he got. That's just a one-time, lifetime thing. But I don't think Porzingis should do that because I'm going to go to bat. Everybody thought he was going to be this, you know, unicorn because he did so great in New York.
Did he, though, yeah, that great in New York?
They called him the unicorn.
He had moments.
He was killing his first 3 years, and everybody thought Phil Jackson was a genius by picking him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he played like My Little Pony in this series.
Well, but see, people, here's the thing that kills me about the Knicks, and this is not a shot at the Knicks because I have nothing against them, but you get these flash-in-the-pan guys that are good for a season or two, and then everybody lifts them up like, this is the future. Jeremy Lin was the hottest thing in basketball for like 8 seconds, you know what I mean? And then it was like Lin's sanity all over the place, and then it's like that flared out. And then it was Porzingis, and that flared
out.
That's
New York.
That's how it is, right? Yeah. You pick the hero, you prop him up, and then you watch him fail.
That's New York.
But I think about this guy. I'm going to describe him. I bet you can tell me what his name is. He went to UCLA. He came out of he went to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah, I already
averaged a double-double. Then he goes and plays with this awesome guy and another awesome guy, and he didn't put up the same numbers. But everybody used to talk bad about him. But like, and then he just lost the love for the game. Think about that. You know, Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love is Porzingis. Think about it. Porzingis is Kevin Love because you were the man. When you could get all the shots and it was focused around you, and then you go out to play with someone else, you like, because think about how bad people talked about Kevin Love when he went to Cleveland.
Oh, very bad. Very poorly.
And it's not like he all of a sudden he leaves Minnesota and now he's a bum. And I know he's a great player. I'm just saying that as a term, but people call him a bum. But when you're not used offensively, some guys don't know how to, you know, okay, I'm not being used. Like, take Trez, for instance. Trez is never used like he should be used offensively, but he goes on the other end. He takes charges. He rebounds. He go gets offensive rebounds, and that takes a talent. That takes a special individual. Kevin Love, he was given 10 offensive rebounds, 10 defense. All of a sudden, Kevin Love looked like he's just a regular old player. And it's when you lose the love and people don't know how to use you and your teammates don't know how to use you, you look like that, okay, you're a bust or you're not the unicorn.
Julio Jones out of Atlanta. We talked about that a while ago. Look at you. Your hands up in the air, you son of a bitch, you. Stab my city in the back. No, I mean, we all knew Julio.
I left
was
you
gone.
One Alabama receiver, so be happy about that.
Right, and we love him. But we, and, you know, but look, you know, it was the writing was on the wall, I think, no matter how you cut it. Forget the fact that apparently he didn't know he was on live TV when he was on with Shannon Sharp, so that's kind of problematic. But I, you know, the Falcons had no salary cap room to even sign their draft class this year, so one piece had to go. We know it was going to be Julio, but man, Tennessee with AJ Brown, Derrick Henry, and Julio Jones, that is going to be, and they were already a damn good team.
Yes.
Tennessee's going to be dangerous this year.
I just hope Julio don't become the street clothes of the NFL because, you know, he has a tendency to be hurt
his
a lot.
His toe, man. Damn toe.
If he is healthy, oh, my goodness, Tennessee
dangerous.
Really going to be some Titans. So I'm like, my goodness, they're going to be good.
Well, dangerous. You know, at one point in time, I thought, you know, there's this other team that I thought he was going to end up going to. I don't
get
know
off your Rams platform.
I don't know who. I just it
climb
just slips,
on down off that Rams.
It slips
platform.
My mind. I just don't know what team. Yeah, I don't know. Oh,
well, he didn't go there, so it's
you
cool.
Know,
so don't worry about
the,
it.
The LA Rams, we'll but say, I do know.
See. It's fine.
Let me check my emails.
I for a second thought because the Rams don't care nothing about. First round draft picks. They throw them away like people throw candy corn. It's just what it is.
Like,
you want first round
like
pick?
The Everybody wants.
Right. So I thought for a second. But
Jamie, aren't you a Rams fan too, though?
No.
No, you're a Giants fan.
She's a Giants fan. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got your own issues.
Well, I mean, I like, I know. But I do. I mean, I like to see the Rams and the Chargers play well. It's good for the city. How do you think Stafford's going to do?
I think he's an upgrade over Goff. I was so sick and tired of Goff. Now, I know Stafford has never been on this stage because now the Rams are one of the Super Bowl favorites. But
Rob, something smell over there? Did you fart?
He don't like like Matthew Stafford.
He don't like Matt.
He's an upgrade over Jared Goff. He don't like Big Matt. Upgrade. Yeah. and he's now playing. I wanted Julio there because I wanted the him and Calvin Johnson connection 2.0.
Oh man, I love Calvin Johnson.
Love Calvin.
Yeah,
Atlanta guy.
But Julio has always been compared to him. He's a different type of receiver. Just huge, yeah. Big physical receiver that is just. I mean, I good luck to Julio. I got nothing but love for Julio Jones. He was amazing here in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
We didn't utilize him enough on offense. We didn't find him ways to get into the end zone more. You know, the contract, Arthur Blank sort of put his fingers all over that contract. Julio's got to be somewhere here for life. And it's like, well, don't say that kind of stuff because you can't make those promises. And, you know, we're in salary cap hell in Atlanta, so someone had to go. But congratulations to Julio, I guess. And
if you think about it,
I'll get my Tennessee Titans number 2 jersey now.
No, you won't.
But you got a hell of a guy coming in to play tight end now. That guy from Florida,
Kyle Pitts.
Pitts. If you look at him, he could pretty much be a Julio Jones and replace him. I think he's a hell of a receiver. Fast, got that new prototype type body. Y'all lost one, but y'all gained one.
Yeah.
Hey Rob, let me ask you this: did you ever think about playing football?
Yeah, I thought about it. Think about it.
That was it.
Did you ever think? At 6'9", 6'10", did you ever think, hey man, I could receive a tight end? I can go up and get some.
I played in, you know, Pop Warner and all that kind of stuff. I was a beast, you know. I was Dion before Dion. I would run my ass out of bounds. You ain't hitting me, no sir.
Hold on, Dion.
Everything
who?
Had to be just Dion Sanders.
You child, know? Please.
I would run out of bounds. They ain't hitting me,
Dion Sanders. Yeah, okay, you talking about prime time?
Well, in Pop Warner, sure, shit. I could be Dion in Pop Warner. I mean, damn.
No, I'm saying I was in the
you run out of bounds.
I didn't want to get hit. I didn't want to hit nobody, and I didn't want to get hit. I'm not trying to have contact. All
right. Speaking of sports that maybe not a lot of people paid attention to, did anybody watch the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight?
A little bit, yeah.
Hell no. Wasting my damn time.
Jamie, did you see any of this fight?
No.
I did.
Yeah, no. Now,
I did look on Twitter to see what was going on, see what people were talking about, but that's it.
Yep, same.
Now, everybody was like, this sucks.
They bragged about all the money they made, but I cannot identify one person I know anywhere that actually paid for that fight.
Same.
That's the thing that's wild to me. It's like, oh, we made all this pay-per-view money. I'm like, well, maybe one guy bought the fight and like everybody went to their house and then put it on Twitter. I don't know. I don't know a single person that paid for this fight.
Shout out to my people who sent it to me.
Yeah.
Someone sent it
to you? Oh, you got people.
Well, you know.
Do you send it back and say, why are you sending me this shit?
No.
What is this?
I kindly said thank you. I appreciate it and clicked on the link and watched it.
No. I couldn't watch. I would say maybe the minute and a half I watched on Twitter is time I want back. You know what I mean? It was like at one point it looked like Floyd knocked him out cold. And then kind of
when you laid on him?
Propped him up, like, no, don't fall down. We got to go 8 more rounds so I get paid, you know. And they went the distance.
I got a toy that you play with my food.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's another one of these things. As long as people want to continue to pay for and Floyd is going to make $30, $50 million just signing the contract, he's going to continue to do it. We talked about this last time. We talked about it when he fought Pacquiao. We talked about it when, you know, previous fight before. I'm never paying for another Mayweather fight.
McGregor,
look at where we are.
When he fought McGregor.
Look at where we are.
Yeah.
Same place as we have been.
I don't pay for no fights anymore. I ain't seeing that shit. The only thing I pay for is MMA. That's something I'll pay for.
I can't think of the last. Does anyone remember the last thing they paid for to watch, like, as far as, like, I think I've rented a movie. I have not bought, like, a fight. An MMA, a UFC, and I probably can't think ever.
Yeah,
I paid for Yellowstone. Yeah. Did you guys watch Yellowstone?
Is that the Kevin Costner show?
Mm-mm. It's really good, like modern day cowboys and Indians. But that I paid for that on whatever streaming service. That was really good. But
I know or whatever it's on. No,
I haven't paid for. I haven't paid for sporting event. I don't know. I haven't paid for tickets. Is that bad?
Well, no. You work in the industry.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. I've been to 100 Braves games. I can't tell you the last time I bought tickets to a baseball game. It's because we work here.
The Dodgers game. I'm like, I ain't paying for that. I'm like, let me call somebody up. Like, can I get Dodgers tickets, please?
It's the perk. So,
Rob, you ever throw out the first pitch? You have, right?
A long time ago. I think it was like 2001 or 2 when I did it. So it's been a while.
After the Western Conference final shot, had to be, right?
Yes. I did. Yes, I reached the plate. You know, sure. But here's the thing is, I wasn't one of these people who went out to try to, like, thinking I'm freaking J.R. Richardson coming off the mound like with some heat, right? Yeah. I just threw it really nice up in the air. Over, and I'm like, I'm not trying to embarrass myself.
I'm not going to 50 cent this thing and then all the way. the guy over here for no reason. Yeah.
So I've thrown out the pitch for the Astros and I've thrown out the pitch for the Dodgers.
That's not bad. Well, yeah.
Right, well, I got a little news right quick. I don't know what it means. Pat Riley's been fined for tampering, $25,000 by the league. I don't know if you all know that he made some comments over during an interview last week talking about if LeBron wants to come back to Miami, I'll leave a nice shiny key under the mat. If the league is fining him $25,000 for that.
That's ridiculous, man. You can't. I know it's you can't talk about players, but it's. It was your former player. I'm like, yeah, I have him back. That's not anything.
That's not tampering.
I don't see that as tampering. Yeah, a little bit.
If he wants to come back, he's welcome. Here's we're making you a contract offer.
Jamie, is it tampering?
I mean, technically, yes.
Technically. This is like, did he cheat? Technically, he cheated. But he didn't go all the way, you know.
What about when you say, come play with your brother? Is that tampering, too?
Oh, you're talking about with Darryl the Sixers Moore, and Daryl Morey. Yeah, that's tampering because Steph ain't on that squad.
But his brother is. Hey, all brothers want to play together. Even the twins have once played together. You know, Keith and the Morris twins.
Yeah.
You can't speak anymore in the NBA without getting fined for something. What the hell did Nate get fined for? McMillan, didn't he?
Oh, the refs.
Yeah, with Stan,
or
the
saying
refs
that the league
series.
Wants the Knicks to win this series.
Yeah, and they fined his ass for that. Yeah. So you just can't speak
anymore.
Did you
win this series 3-1?
4-1.
4-1.
I mean, 4-1, yeah.
Yeah, but this was before the series kind of started that he made that statement.
Yeah. Just anytime you say anything, they're going to find a way to find you.
See, and it worked out his way. See?
It did.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
We were talking about baseball a second ago, so I got a great piece of audio I wanted to bring in. I love... The guys who do these great post-game interviews.
This is my favorite part of the show.
There's a reliever for the University of Virginia baseball team named Steven Schock. And he looks like, I'm drawing a blank on the character's name from Eastbound and Down, Kenny Powers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He looks like a man. He's got the big hair and the mustache and the whole thing. So they're doing this. They ask him, how did he feel about coming in late in the game and having to go in the ninth? And the post-game interview is just brilliant. How'd you feel about coming into the ninth?
I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner. So it's like...
Does anything make you nervous?
Caves. Mainly. Nothing really. I mean, I don't see any caves out here. I know we're in the south. If it's not the desert, that's where I find most caves are probably at. But, you know, this is just a game. There's going to be way harder things in life than striking out the side or not walking somebody. So I don't really get too caught up in all the jibber jabber and all the mean things people might say to me because it's just... You know, I think I'm a cool guy. My dogs think I'm awesome. My teammates like me. And my friends like me. So I'm going to attack. I'm going to win. Simple.
All right.
Good for him.
Great interview. I mean, this goes on for like 3 minutes and it's just...
What did he say, though? Afraid of K's? Like
caves.
Strikeouts?
Caves. Are you afraid of anything? And he goes, caves. He's afraid of going into caves, apparently.
That like, makes two of us. I won't go into a cave either.
You're too big to go in caves, Rob.
Yes, we don't need you knocking your head on shit in caves.
You said the University of Virginia, right?
Yes.
Is weed legal in Virginia?
I'm going to say yes. Here's the bigger question. Dippin' Dots. Is that white people shit?
Or no, no.
No? Okay.
No.
Black people love some Dippin' Dots.
Okay, I didn't know. That's
not white people shit right
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah. I go to the zoo. All I see is white women with Dippin' Dots, so no. I don't know. You know
we ebony and ivory when it comes to that. We all together.
I don't like Dippin' Dots.
I don't like Dippin' Dots either.
I don't eat ice cream. Just eat ice cream. What are you doing?
It's no fun.
Yeah, we made ice cream creative. What, you reinvented the wheel? Shut up. Just eat ice cream.
Hey, I'm
Dippin' Dots.
Oh, funny thing about Dippin' Dots, didn't they have to use their machines to store all the vaccines?
I think you're right.
Ain't that crazy?
I think that was a story.
Because it was so cold, they had to use had to use their freezers to store vaccines.
They're good for something.
Yeah, good for something.
They are. You don't eat them, but they're saving America. One Dippin' Dot at a time. All right.
You know, what about Simone Biles doing her thing, though? You know, we always talk about
she's
sports.
Unbelievable.
She's definitely the one. And we always talk about the greatest athletes of all time. She has to be the greatest athlete of all time. The way she can move and still sustain that level of competitiveness, at her, you know, it's just amazing. It's like she, I don't even know what that shit's called that she did the other day. I'm just watching. I got dizzy watching her flip. I'm like, what the fuck? She's amazing, man.
Absolutely. And I don't think a lot of people realize the upper body strength. Like, to be, you know, flipping and doing all that stuff in the air. Look, I'm with you, Robert. I be getting a headache watching a lot of that because I can't do a third of what them folks do. So I
can't even run down the runway.
I do a somersault and I get up like I'm just like hammered. I mean, it's just...
Jamie, are you any different from any of us, or do you do something we don't know about?
No, I have like a 4-inch vertical. Like I can't.
That is white people shit. That's what that is. That's what that is.
But Simone's amazing.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
She's really fun to watch.
You know what's great about her too is no matter what she's doing, the most complicated routine, she's so focused and it just looks so effortless. Like, it's not that she's like, I mean, it's just unbelievable. She's incredible.
And it was weird when she went back, everybody sitting on the bench looking like, I hate you. they had before, but they had that look of disgust, like, you just makes everything look so easy, and we coming out here and it's hard, and I hate you. Yeah. But I love you on my team, but I hate you.
Yeah.
But I'll never be as good as you.
Right.
Yeah.
How the Bulls bench used to look at Jordan, just like, he's son of a bitch. All right, well, I do have audio for That's Unfortunate this week. We do love to bring these to the show. And for the second week in a row, I have audio from Kevin Harlan, who we absolutely love, Kevin Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from our longtime friend Anil found this. The NBA is apparently running a promo with those massage guns. Have you seen those, like, massage guns? Have you ever, I don't know if you guys have ever used them.
Yeah, I got one.
I have one.
You have them. Okay, so.
We all have one but you.
I don't have one. I've never used it. Do they work?
Get with the program, Rob. Yeah, they do.
What do I do physically besides push buttons on this board that I would ever need a massage gun for?
Probably tie it up here.
What happens if the elevator goes down? You got to take the stairs, man.
Oh, no. Hell no.
Don't tell me y'all on the first floor. Are y'all on the first
floor? No,
we're on the fourth floor.
Okay.
And on my finger sore from hitting that elevator button. Get a massage. Anyway, so they're doing this promo with the massage guns, and they're showing the players using them on the sidelines, and they have that, like, you know, they kind of do that, like, jab motion. Well, Kevin Harlan tries to transition out of that during a break, and we get this.
All players have access to the Hypervolt Plus during every game throughout the season.
And we use it on our throats. High price.
I mean, a well-intentioned segue, but just Kevin.
And we use it on our throats.
He's priceless.
Oh, he's so good. Oh, he's so good.
Hey, he could have stopped there, but he ended up making this song.
Oh, Lord.
I don't think you know what he just did.
That audio is just, oh, Lord. Kevin.
If you combine him and Doris and Paul Pierce, we got a hell of a show.
It's not just when you come, like it's how hard you come.
Hey, are you talking about?
We are children. We are children.
Oh,
yes,
man.
We are.
Oh, all respect great. To you,
Monica!
Kevin Harlan. All respect.
Oh, I do love Kevin Harlan, though.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And that
Lord.
One will that'll show up on the show for years to come. I'm sure. All right. We'll end, as we always do, with a little bit of an uplifting story, our big shot of the week. I can't think of a better one than to give this to 8-year-old TJ Olson, the son of Carolina Panthers legend Greg Olsen, who had a heart transplant this week at eight years old, and within just hours of coming out of the transplant, was doing this on social media.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for praying with me. Congrats, all of you have gone to win. We love you guys. Bye.
I can't wrap my head around that as a parent, having to go through something of that caliber for an eight-year-old child. You know, obviously, Rob, we know what you went through with your daughter and everything like that. But as having an eight-year-old having to go through a heart transplant, and that kid is, that's aces, man. That kid is special. Good for him.
You know, he is. I don't think people understand. You know, my wife has been cracked open twice. She's had three heart surgeries, and the amount of pain. She was like, I don't think people understand how much pain it is. They crack your sternum open, then they glue you or they staple you back together. Mm-hmm. You know, she's had two kids, and she said, which one is more painful? She said the heart. You know, women always talk about how painful, you know, it is to give birth, but you have your chest cracked open as a little kid, and, you know, and for the parents to stay strong for him and him to come out and able to say thank you to everybody, and he's conscious and, you know, aware of his surroundings is amazing, man. So, you know, I hope he stays healthy, and, you know, because think about also this is during COVID, because you never know what could happen in the hospital with all the germs and stuff. But I'm happy for the Olsons, you know. That's one of the things you have to, you know, get down on your knees and thank the man above if you believe in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. 100%. And I, you know, I'm a believer. I'm a man of faith and a man of prayer. And to see anyone go through that and recover, especially a child, a child, you know, I know all humans are special. We're all created. But to see children go through things like this, it tugs at you a little more, because it's like the innocent. You know, here's a child that just wants to, you know, go outside and play and scrape up his knee and his elbow and get into a little bit of trouble outside. And he's going through groans. Like, this is heavy grown stuff.
Yeah.
And so it really kind of messes with me a little bit to see anybody go through that, but especially children.
Yeah.
But whenever I've gone and into the children's hospitals for charity work or with players and appearances, it is so hard to see these children that, like you said, want to be outside playing and just doing kid stuff. But one thing that the staff has always told me is how resilient children are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason, you know, they're just like little fighters, you mm-hmm. know? So I hope that he has a speedy recovery, and that was good stuff.
Yeah. Just, and you know, for me, I have an 8-year-old daughter, and you know, TJ's 8 years old. So You want to talk about hitting home? You know, I read that stuff and I'm like, my God! I mean, at my daughter's age, going through like Brandon said, grown folk stuff. You know, stuff for grownups that you don't ever wish that stuff on kids. But good for him. Happy he's healthy. And just an uplifting, great story.
Absolutely.
So, you know, good for the Olsons, and hang in there. All right, y'all. Thank you for a fun show this week. That was good, Jamie. Thank you for jumping in.
Yes, good
always,
to see you guys.
Always good to see you and hear from you. Where are you going? Are you going on vacation? Are you off now?
I'm going to Cabo on Saturday.
You're going to Cabo?
Be in Cabo.
For a week.
All right.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. What's
his name?
So dark.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I'm going with my family.
Oh. Yeah.
When does he meet you down there?
Rob's not buying this. He's not buying it.
I'm not buying a week with your family. You know, you're probably seeing somebody now.
No, I'm not. I'm going with fam. My New York family is meeting me down there. They're the ones that want to go for a week. I'm like, I can handle like 3-4 days in Cabo, but they're like, no, we're going to go for a week.
I can't do longer than 3-4 days with my family.
And we rented a house, so it's not like we have our own hotel rooms.
Oh, see, now that's I really couldn't do that.
Oh, no.
Is the house big enough to where everybody can just kind of?
Yeah, I think so.
You think?
I'm the one that picked it out. So
okay. How many? Hold on. This is the most important question.
Yeah.
How many bathrooms?
Oh, I think four.
Four full bathrooms.
Yeah, I think it's four bedroom. And so it's my two cousins, my cousin's fiance, and my aunt.
Oh, so it's not that. It's okay. So it's only five of you guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that'd be all right. I thought it was like 12 of you guys.
You know, but it's true. It's like after a couple of days, you're kind of like,
I love y'all, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this doesn't mean anything. I'm closing my door. I have some work to do, so don't bother me.
You sure being there,
like,
I do.
Dancing and singing, sneaking over the balcony, going out for a walk on the beach by yourself.
I'm gonna have to find a place to watch the games. Fortunately, my two cousins are big NBA fans, so they're gonna want to watch the games too. Yeah.
I'm probably gonna go over to Senior Frogs.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. By the way, it's time to check out if you hear this noise at any point. Time to call.
Do you think he went like this?
I don't know. They didn't have the video up. It was
probably true,
but just
that's the only way you can make that noise, right? You can't do
well.
All right, time to go. See y'all later.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!